It is enormous fun. It's also an industry in which, if you get it right, you can make a lot of money.
It's very fresh. There's a lot of people who are very interested in expanding in the industry or opening a new hotel.
I think generally, I think the customers out there spending their money, and they love the experience of staying in a hotel. It's a great thing to do, particularly one that's run by an independent owner.
There's a massive social change coming across the world, particularly in some of the major cities, Miami, New York, LA, and particularly London, where hotels are becoming the hub. It's all things to all people.
Some of the thoughts at the 2013 Independent Hotel Show, the only event specifically for the luxury, independent and boutique hotel industry. I'm David Prest, and in this podcast, we'll be giving you a flavour of this year's event.
I'm joined now by two of the great names of the independent hotel industry, Robert Nadler, Chief Executive of Nadler Hotels, and Mark Fuller from Sanctum Soho. How's the show been for you two so far?
Very exciting, a much bigger show than I anticipated compared with last year, an enormous amount to see as well as to listen to. So far very enjoyable, and a very enjoyable session we've just had.
And a buoyant mood?
Yeah, well, you know what, I never read what I'm told to talk about, because it always makes it for much more interesting fun. Sometimes I go off on completely the wrong tangent and people laugh at me, but then that's the amusement factor. But you know what, I think it's great, because this is a growth industry, and as I said when I was talking, this is the new social thing, and hotels are now part of everybody's lives, and it's become as much as eating dinner to go out to a hotel, which I think is fantastic.
I'd agree with that completely. I think it has become a social thing. So I think if you're affiliated to a brand, there are certain people who would say, I don't want to be part of that. I want to be with an independent, something that's unique, something that's quirky, something that where I can bump into Mark Fuller or Robert Nadler in the hotel or Ian Schrager or whatever.
Like the new members club.
Yeah.
It should be about accessibility and fun, and that's what will bring London back to the fore.
And what about keeping that sense of independence when the big boys start to do what you're doing?
Do you feel flattered?
Do you feel challenged?
They absolutely can't. They can't do it.
I agree with Mark.
They can't do it.
We were sitting on the panel, we're talking exactly
they
about
can
that.
Try.
They do try, and it ends up being corporate.
The difference between independent and larger hotels is heart and individuality, and you cannot get individuality in 200 rooms.
We love what we're doing. You put that passion, you put that energy, and you put that sense of fun in there, which you're not going to get with a big brand. It'll be corporate design in Dallas or in Paris or something.
3 minutes.
Is it rock and roll?
Oh, it's rock and roll, and we like it.
I've just come around the corner and I'm amazed by something which is obviously getting a lot of interest from people here. There's a small crowd watching. It's almost a little booth within the show, and in the middle of it, lit from below with changing pink and green neon lights. I hesitate to say it, but this is a self-humping bed. It moves, it shakes, it vibrates with music, and one of the people behind it is Cecilia Artigues from the company Margarita Bonita.
Yes, Suite Margarita Bonita is a new model business for the hotel and a new romantic experience for the guest. So we propose a romantic suite with a movement bed.
Now, we don't use the three-letter S word, but what we are seeing here is something quite clearly aimed at strengthening intimacy, the bond between relationships. Talk us through the various settings that you've got here.
Now, this is the horizontal movement, okay?
Oh, I see. So that's just a straight horizontal sliding motion of about 5 or 6 inches either side. Gets quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. Okay, so we've got four settings here. Relax, up and downs.
Love and crazy.
Love and crazy.
Yeah.
Let's try crazy. Come on.
Crazy,
let's go for
okay.
it. That's so
the bed goes crazy and you are going
so the crazy
to
is basically it dips in the middle, it bucks at the sides, and then it changes direction and flips the other side almost. It's still doing the horizontal movement. And how much would this a remarkable piece of machinery cost me?
It depends on the project, because we adapt to the design of each hotel. So more or less we are talking about £15,000 per room.
So couples have really got to enjoy the experience.
Yeah, but you will recover your investment very quickly.
Now to Paul Tanner from Waterfront Designer Bathrooms.
So once you've selected your bed, the next thing is to select your bath. Now this is the most amazing thing to look at. It's you know Bob Dylan sang about big brass beds?
Yes.
You've got a big brass bath.
Thank you.
this is amazing. It's sort of dimpled. It's a beautiful texture. This is solid brass.
Yes, solid brass. It's commissioned for a Middle Eastern client, and they wanted a bath to look as though it was Egyptian.
It's got a sort of a very fine hand-pocked feel to it.
It's a hammered finish.
This looks like it's sort of centuries old.
Yes, that's right. It's a hammered finish. It's weathered to make it look like it is centuries old. It's called the Cleopatra bath.
It is stunning, and I've noticed just whilst we're talking, people are just coming up and their mouths are dropping open when they look at this thing. Is that the reaction you've had from people all day?
Yes, if I had an order for every single photo or whatever's taken at this bath, it'd be fantastic.
And this is actually something that people could take away today if they wanted it. This bath is for sale.
Yes, it is. This bath's for sale. It retails at £39,000. Yeah. And this, as I say, is a work of art in the sense that this won't go down in price. It will only go up in price. It's really designed for certain clients that we have that want something different, something that's not the same as everybody else's bath. Yeah.
It's a bath for sharing as well, obviously.
It is, yeah. You fill it with ass's milk and then you both lay in that. It's pure luxury.
So to get an overview on how the independent hotel industry and the sector is performing at the moment, we're here with Louise Birchall, the editor of Boutique Hotelier. What's the mood of the show for you?
I've had quite a lot of people who've come to the stand interested in just getting advice and tips, and I went through a few of the morning sessions. There's a lot of emphasis on very hands-on how you can survive, especially with the independent hotels. A lot are trying to stand out from the crowd, so it's very much about how to do that.
You talked about the sessions here. There is a big sense of people sharing tips and a sense of almost community around the show, isn't there, in a way? And that is the independent, the boutique hotel
industry. I think that's what's so nice about this industry, is that usually the person who's interested in getting those tips is the operator or the owner. It's the people, they're so hands-on in this industry that it is really just about being innovative and always being at the front of the trends.
Well, talking about that, there are the trend makers here, and there are some of the big personalities, the rock and rollers, as it were, of the industry, and you've got one of them, Gary Davis from Malmaison and Hotel du Vin, on the cover of your latest magazine. Do you think people really do come because they want to hear where those people are going, where they're thinking in the future?
I think they look up to these people as inspiration, and they think, well, they've succeeded, how have they done it? And they want to find out more. So that's something that is really useful to people to hear, and I think that's why the sessions tend to be so popular as well, because it is, again, just about sharing ideas.
What you get a sense of here is how much the technology of the hotel room has moved on. And I'm here with Dan Robb of Samsung. And some of the bits of kit that you're now supplying into hotels would have been mind-boggling only 3 or 4 years ago. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it really goes to show that the future of hospitality is with technology. It's really enhancing the customer experience. It might be interacting from your room down to the restaurant, making sure that your order is in, or watching content that's maybe personal to you, or even driving content that's from your home device or from your phone on the screens as well in your hotel room, so you're not missing anything when you're away.
And is there a sense as well that people now are expecting this sort of thing, almost a standard in many hotel rooms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess 15, 10 years ago, you would go to a hotel to see the latest technology that you wouldn't normally have home. I think that's changed now. You have the latest gadgets at home, and you come to a hotel and see, you know, old style TVs, technology that's bypassed 5-10 years ago. So I think now it's about making sure that people get back to that futuristic technology. They can still use their own technology because obviously they want to, but it's technology that perhaps they haven't seen before, or in a way that they've seen before. And I think that's really important.
For the independent hotelier coming here, though, it's a big investment to deck out rooms with new technology that you're offering here. How reassuring are you when they come and they say, look, am I going to be buying something which is going to be defunct in 3 or 4 years' time?
Sure, I think, there's one thing that I always sort of go to on cost-saving and ROI, which is the LED lighting, which is a really big thing at the moment, because I think it's like 70-80% cost-saving. Some of the ROI you get is sort of 17-18 months after the investment. The LED lighting lasts for so long, the energy costs are so low as well. So after a fairly big outlay, you are actually making your money back sort of within 17-18 months, which I think is not that bad an ROI for a lot of the guys coming down to shows like this and looking for the investment.
We've come to one side with Tim Etchells, the Managing Director of the Independent Hotel Show. Tell me how it's going for you. With plenty of activity, plenty of people here. You must be a happy man.
Yeah, it's been a great day. It's always a risk because you never know whether the people are going to turn up. We put a huge amount of effort into promoting the show this year to the industry, to the owners of luxury boutique hotels all over the country. And they've turned up, which is amazing. And I think it's been really good people who have come through today. I think what's also helped is having some amazing seminars.
There's a sense of wanting to come and sort of, you know, touch the hem of some of these trendsetters, isn't there? Really wanting to pick up
absolutely.
Some tips and some feelers.
I think it's an industry that you do have your heroes, and there are clearly some heroes in this industry, and I think people who are starting hotels, very interesting, one of the sessions that was sort of oversubscribed was "So You Want to Open a Hotel?" So there's still a lot of people out there who are keen to do it.
And people, you know, the expectations of people coming to independent hotels are still pretty high, aren't they? It's not like, you know, they've downgraded their expectations because of austerity measures or whatever. They're still expecting a real premium product, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I think some people are buying a bit better. They're probably buying in advance. Maybe they're, if you can stay on a Sunday night rather than staying on a Saturday night where you know the Sunday night's going to be a bit cheaper, I think people are doing that. Nick Jones was saying that one of his tips was to hotel is to be generous, you know, to give you that bottle of water, to not make you pay for everything. Once you've paid for your room, to try and give as much as you can to make that experience a bit special. And I do think boutique hotels are very good at that. You do feel that they're giving you things, where perhaps you stay in a chain hotel, you know that it's been driven by finance people and everything is kind of about the bottom line.
One company that's been supplying the British hotel industry since the Edwardian times is Lloyd Loom. And Lloyd Loom of Spalding, makers of extraordinary furniture, are here. And this is Stuart Shaw, the export sales manager. Stuart, people think of Lloyd Loom and they think it's a great chair in a hotel.
Yes, definitely. It's a fantastic brand that's endured through the ages. The designs and the manufacturing methods are still true to how they were made far back as 1912. So the brand has really lasted.
And for those who don't know, describe the look of a Lloyd Loom chair and the method that has gone into it.
Standard splayed arms, nice rounded legs. The upholstery itself is similar to wicker, but it's much stronger. It's wound paper with wire in it.
It is actually paper and wire, that's all it is.
Simply paper, wound very, very tight, coated, glued, secured in place.
And there's something very tactile about it as well, isn't there? You can run your hand down it.
It's lovely and tactile, like you say, and very, very easy to upholster around a range of different shapes and frames, so it's brilliant for that.
Traditionally, I suppose, we think of it as something that, as furniture you put in a summer house or a conservatory.
Traditionally, it's still used in that way. A lot of our sales are based towards people using it, end customers and retailers, aiming towards that end of things, but there are a lot of hotels that like the durability of the brand. And also the fact that it not only does it last, but it can be resprayed, refurbished very easily, and there's a big market for that as well.
And am I right in thinking that the largest concentration of Lloyd Loom chairs in Britain is at Wimbledon?
Certainly one of them. And you've also got, in the Royal Box, we've even got a picture on our website of the Queen sitting in one of the old 1912 type chairs.
So all those VIPs from David and Victoria Beckham to the Queen and the Duchess of Cambridge and Cliff Richard have sat in Lloyd Loom chairs in the VIP box.
We've touched them all in some way.
You know the problem. You're out, you're sightseeing, the rain comes down. You get wet, you buy an umbrella, you put it up, the umbrella gets wet, you go back to your hotel and it leaks all over the place. You go into the foyer and they give you a glowering look. A man has come up with a fantastic invention to stop that happening. It's called umbrella wrappers. Luca Dwyer, tell us about it.
When a guest comes into your hotel with a dripping umbrella, they'll wrap it in the unit. It wraps it in a recyclable vinyl bag. Yep. This will stop it dripping on your floors. And then when they leave, they'll just bring it out of the recyclable wrapper, take it out, pull it up, and throw the wrapper away.
Why have we survived so long without this product?
I have no idea how we've survived so long without this product, but we can't survive any longer. It's time to get your umbrella wrapper. We put the umbrella into the top of the unit.
Yep.
You push it down, you pull it towards you, and it instantly is wrapped, and there's 15 different units to choose from. So this is the solution to the problem, and we hope that hotels will take on the idea. We hope to see them in a lot of hotels throughout the UK soon.
There's lots of talk about new products, extraordinary ideas in room design and fabrics and the sort of things, the technology that people are putting in rooms. But along the way, hoteliers have to think about the other side of their business, keeping things working, keeping themselves insured. Towergate Insurance are here, and Robert Dyson and Wendy LeVay are with us. Tell me what people are saying to you. What sort of things are they looking for when they're coming to a show like this?
What's been very interesting is talking to people about how their business actually works. We're not kind of interested in the conventional floods or fires, that kind of thing. What we're looking at is, what's your business about? What is going to stop you achieving your current business aims? And what's going to stop you achieving future expansion plans or mergers or acquisitions?
And they need protection in a sense, don't they? I mean, everybody has to think about this sort of thing. And you know, without scaring people, what are the sort of worst scenarios, some of the worst scenarios that have come across your desk when you see them?
I think the biggest one at the moment for the hotel industry is simple data protection. Because in terms of cyber exposures, a lot of hotels nowadays are having credit card access to your rooms. There is a wealth of data there. What we need to do is actually understand what data have you got, what could go horribly wrong, and what policies have you got in place to actually stop that happening now.
We might say people are becoming more aware of their rights, perhaps. So. But I have to say, I mean, I'm on the development side, and I've been very impressed with the high level of attendance, guests. You know, you've only got to turn around and there's the kind of general manager of a very large, well-known chain quite happy to talk to you, give you his personal mobile number and generally have a chat. And I found that quite interesting.
Have you had a chance to have a look around the show elsewhere as well? Or?
There's some very interesting exhibits. I particularly like the moving bed one, which is...
It seems to be the feature
yes,
of the show.
A lot of people have noticed that, though. Very energetic sales pitch on that one, so yeah, that's good.
There's a special setting called Crazy. What I'm worried about is whether your insurance policy is going to cover someone who has a bad back as a result
We're
of trying out the moving bed
to cover that off.
We've come into a little haven from the show floor with all its bustle and its goings on, and we've come into the Champagne Perrier Jouet lounge, and we're here with James Robinson from Perrier Jouet.
Well, welcome indeed. Absolutely. By having a small boutique area, it really fits the kind of Perrier Jouet brand. We are overall a small boutique house, and as such, by having a small invitation only but beautifully formed room, we are able to have some quality time with some hoteliers, and as such understand more so their hotels, their concepts, their ambitions and dreams, obviously around the idea of champagne, but also to share a glass of, we have here some Perrier Jouet Grand Brut and on vintage, some Blason Rosé, but obviously the famous Anemone designed bottle of Belle Epoque, which is 2006 vintage. And today we've been talking to people about all areas of champagne, from the basic requirements of when you order a bottle of Belle Epoque in a hotel to what kind of glassware and service requirements and theatre and training, through to really kind of bespoke co-created ideas.
When you talk to people about the story, what is it that people get excited about?
I think it's two things. I think champagne ultimately is a romantic journey, and it's nice to start with the fact that we are Perrier Jouet, and this was really a love affair between Adèle Jouet and Nicolas Perrier. Nicolas was a cork merchant, and Adèle was more so from a wine family, so it was very much meant to be. Also, the couple in 1811 had a real love of art. So right now, today, we have the largest private collection of Art Nouveau in Maison Belle Epoque, started by Nicolas and Adèle Perrier and Jouet. And as such, really, the artistic heritage, rather than being something that's been dreamt up in recent years, it's something that's almost been continuing this history, right from 1811, right the way through to the Belle Epoque bottle, which was created in 1902 for the family.
And when you're drinking this champagne, there has to be, presumably, there's a toast which is appropriate for La Belle Epoque.
I think there is indeed. There isn't a formal toast. We're not a formal house per se. But I think given what we've been saying about the story of Belle Epoque, I think it's very much to life and to love.
Marvellous.
For a final word on the 2013 Independent Hotel Show, let's hear again from Managing Director Tim Etchells.
It's a competitive market, but it's a big market. I mean, I saw a stat the other day, I think, that said something like there's a foreign tourist that comes into the UK, there's one every minute. I mean, that means that person is going to go and stay in a hotel, probably. Unlikely that they're going to stay with friends. The likelihood is they will stay in a hotel. And the likelihood of them wanting to stay in an independent hotel is probably quite high. So there's a lot of money there.
And still, there's a lot of talk around the spend in marketing that independent hotels still have to make in order to compete with the big chains and all that sort of thing. It's still a worry in people's head, isn't it? Getting their name in front of the clients, in front of the customers.
Well, I think it's about creating the kind of that niche product, you know, and whether it's about the building, whether it's about the food offering, or whether it's about a combination of lots of things, the decor. But I think it's about creating that niche product. And it's interesting that, you know, you take a new hotel like the Pig, you know, which is not not actually a particularly friendly name, funnily enough, but it has become a huge success because they've made it different, and probably haven't spent huge amounts of money on marketing it, but they've just made a statement, which is then through press and good PR has got the word out.
Coming out of recession, potentially grassroots recovery, lots of talk around this. How are you feeling it from the organisers' perspective? What are people telling you about how they're feeling about the future now?
Oh, I think the economy is pretty good. Certainly, there's no doubt, and it's not. There is a two-tier economy, so obviously London is much stronger than the rest of the country. One can't ignore that. But I think the number of people that are here today is an interesting point. You know, you wouldn't come here unless you were seriously looking and potentially had money to spend. So I think that's good. I think you can raise money at the moment. It is possible. It may be not the conventional bank route, but there are different ways of raising money. And I think clever people, and Nick Jones this morning said, for the right person with the right idea, there's always money. It's just a question of finding it.
This podcast has been a Whistledown production for the Independent Hotel Show. For more details, info@whistledown.net.